For years and years, Australians were pretty ignorant about what was happening in East Timor. Finally, the whole thing blew up in our face and caused a major kerfuffle with Indonesia. We potentially are facing the same situation with West Papua. Recently, there's been the third Papuan Congress held, at which symbolically the flag was flown, independence was declared, and a president and a prime minister chosen. The Indonesian military reacted just as they did in East Timor with violence, killing, arresting a few people. A soldier was killed also in some sort of fighting that went on. The other thing that's been going on is a very sustained strike at the largest foreign investment in Indonesia, which is also the largest taxpayer in Indonesia, that is the Freeport mine in West Papua. The workers are being paid a couple of dollars an hour. They want a lot more. They're the worst paid Freeport workers all around the world. The company's making vast profits, and the Indonesian government's getting a slice of it. And the government is therefore keen to crush the strike.
Indonesia is a relatively new democracy, and its move towards democracy has, I guess, rightly been celebrated as a great success. You must, though, find it frustrating that there must be many people in Australia who are unaware that our northern neighbour still sometimes jails people for something as simple as attending a meeting.
Indonesia is a democracy on the one hand, but on the other hand, the army is above the law. So it's not a full-fledged democracy as we would see it. Secondly, you've got to understand that West Papua is essentially a colony of Indonesia. The West Papuan people never, in any significant way, participated in the Indonesian struggle for independence. They didn't see themselves as part of Indonesia, and they were promised separate independence by the Dutch with their own flag and anthem and so on. And then the United Nations, under the US auspices, as a Cold War tactic, handed them over to Indonesia on a platter. And they resisted from the very beginning militarily. And the OPM, although it's fragmented and small and partly corrupted, is still active. And aside from that, there's now a much stronger urban movement from students who are asking for independence.
Not a single word has been uttered by the Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd or, of course, Julia Gillard on this topic since the Freeport strike started or even in the wake of this deadly crackdown on the meeting of the independence movement. How do you read this silence from the Australian government?
The Australian government signed the Lombok Treaty with Indonesia after some refugees from West Papua arrived here. The Lombok Treaty promises that Australia and Indonesia will respect one another's territorial integrity. In other words, it's a promise not to help any group that wants to break away from Indonesia. And the Australian government puts first its interests in cooperation with the Indonesian army over terrorism with the Indonesian police, over people smuggling. They're not really concerned about human rights violations. In fact, the anti-terrorist group that Australia has trained and funded there, it's called Detachment 77 from memory, has been accused of severe human rights violations in another part of Indonesia.
It puts Australian politicians in an awkward position in that they want to remain in friendly relations with a large neighbour. How can they chart that course of remaining a friend of Indonesia while helping the West Papuans to secure their human rights?
I don't think, you know, as an activist, that I can expect to see West Papua become independent, but it would be possible to give the people many of their rights to education, health, jobs and dignity if the Indonesian government changed some of its policies. So that's where how Canberra could lobby them. You know, Indonesia is the biggest recipient now of Australian aid. We hope for their friendship, but they hope for ours too. So it might be possible to put together a deal.